Welcome. This is Jazz, Just the Way We Like It. My name is Alfonso Severos, and this is my weekly jazz podcast, recorded live at Brick Arts in downtown Brooklyn, the People's Republic of Brooklyn. We play those classic jazz songs of the 1950s, the 1960s, and the 1970s. And every now and then, we play some of the modern stuff. We discuss politics and social issues. We play songs I listened to as a young man, growing up right here in Brooklyn. And here I am, now playing it for your pleasure. I'm in the studio, as always, with my good friend, well over 60 years, and co-host, Lawrence Williams. Larry, how you doing there, good buddy?
All right, what's happening, Al?
Same old, brother, hanging in there.
I hear you.
You know?
Yeah.
Another podcast, brother.
Yeah, looking forward to it, my man.
Yeah, man, you know. Hey, man, you know, this is, what's the day, the 27th?
Yes.
Now, March supposed to come in like a lion and leave like a lamb. But March came in like a lion and is staying around like a lion. We ain't seen no lamb, man. This weather's not gotten warmer.
Yeah, that's for sure. looking for spring to come.
Yeah, man. I need me some sunshine and some warmth.
Yep, how about that?
Yeah. Hey, what can I tell you, folks? Well, you know, we always start the podcast out with a song, a poem, something that addresses issues of social justice, politics, issues and crisis in the world today. Well, here's a song done by one of my favorite folk singers, a Brooklyn man, Richie Havens. And this one is called Young Men Grow Old. I know, Larry, you can relate to that. I can too, buddy. But it's an interesting song, you know. If you can go back, would you? Young Men Grow Old, Richie Havens. So, listen and enjoy.
Wish I was a younger man, said the old man to the young man. Oh, I'd show him what I would do. That is, if I could find something to do I never did before. Because younger men grow older every day, yeah. Wish we had a better plan,
people say,
to get us where we want to go. Oh, how peaceful it would be.
But I hate
if we don't plan ahead, we surely will be left behind. Thank you.
Richie Havens, Younger Men Grow Older. Wow. You know, that's a very interesting song, Larry, because, you know, when we were younger, I don't know about you, man, but I really didn't plan on growing older.
Well, I wasn't thinking about growing older either. I don't think I was thinking past 30, man. I don't even think I was thinking that far. I don't think I was even thinking that far.
Yeah, man, I was, you know, if I'd got to be 60, it would have been a miracle. But I done passed that quite a number of years.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, didn't think about it. And, you know, it talks about making a plan. Man, I didn't make plans for what I was going to do when I was 65 or 70 or even 75. Of course, folks, we're a little older than that. Didn't make plans. Luckily, things kind of worked out.
Yeah, you know? The same thing for me.
But there's a lot of people who are stuck with nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they live in between the meals and sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
At a certain age.
That's not a life.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was our song, not really on a social justice issue, but on a human issue of development. Young men grow older, man. Young women, too. And so, you know, whatever your age it may be, you have to think a little bit about tomorrow and the tomorrow of tomorrow down the line, because it may make a difference. All right. Lots been going on, man.
Yeah.
Politics, politics, politics. You know? Hey, now, we have the New York State primary coming up in April, where people are going to vote for the presidential election. At least I'm concerned about the Democratic Party. By the time it gets to New York, Biden will already be the nominee. He's already the nominee. And so the New York vote will not change anything. However, there's some things that people can consider. If you take in fact that there's been a lot of protest votes against Biden because of his stand with Israel, Gaza, and the genocide that's been going on. Now, some people say it's not genocide, but I'll say it's genocide. When you use starvation as a weapon, that's genocide. In Michigan, which has one of the largest Muslim population in the nation, 101,000 people in their Democratic primary wrote uncommitted. And not only in Michigan, when they had Super Tuesday, 263,000 in five states wrote uncommitted. Minnesota, which has the most organized effort outside of Michigan, saw one in five Democrat voters marked uncommitted. Now, that's saying something. In some of the other states, people did uncommitted or a leave it blank campaign as a protest against Biden. Now, Biden's going to get the nomination. These votes would have not make a difference one way or another because he's going to get the nomination.
Oh, that's sure.
So, but they sent a message, and maybe they can influence his thinking on the policy. And so it's coming to New York, folks. If you have concerns about Biden's policy with Israel, with the Palestinians, with Gaza, like I have concerns, one way to get that concern heard is either write uncommitted or just leave it blank. That's what I intend to do. And if there's enough people across the country who put that there, he may have to reconsider his position. Larry?
Yeah, I would think that if that's one way to get him to change his position, that it should be used. I happen to be independent, so I won't even. I don't. I don't vote in primaries. But I didn't realize that a primary could be used this way. It's a great part of our democracy that we can indicate as a people, the populace vote, what they want in terms of a policy.
Only because there's no competition.
Yeah.
Now, if there was four or five people running, then it'll be a different story, that those uncommitted votes or leave it blank may determine the winner. But here, there's nobody's running against Joe Biden.
Right. That's true.
So it's a done deal.
Yeah. It is a done deal, but the protest vote will indicate, like, you know, how many people within, at least within this state, are in favor of him doing something other than just saying he's going to do something.
Yeah, that you know, Michigan's a key state. It's one of those states that, you know, some of the states in which they had significant numbers are states that can go either way, especially with the rise of the right and conservatives in the Midwest and the far West. It can go either way.
Yeah.
You know, this country has a major, major portion of the population who are extremists, conservative extremists, who want Trump in, and they want him to rule the way Trump wants to rule, as a dictator, and they have no problem with that.
Yeah, and so, that I found like unbelievable, but it is, if you hear those people talking in the street,
they
have no problem, no qualms about it.
They don't want immigrants. They believe him when he says immigrants are poisoning the blood of America. That's what kind of talk is that? You know? And so we got to do whatever we can, you know. And here's the thing. If Biden does not change his vote, people may be in a moral dilemma come election time. Don't ask me which way I'm going to go, because I've lived long enough to live through Reagan, Nixon, and all these other crazy presidents. So one more fool in the White House is not going to change me that much. But the issue of doing nothing in this case, and they're doing it in a way that's so devious. They just had a vote in the United Nations for a ceasefire. And the Americans did not support it because the ceasefire had the word permanent in it. So they took the word permanent out and they put the word, they replaced it with a ceasefire during Ramadan, which is another week. And the Americans still didn't vote for it. They absent, what do you call it?
Abstain
from the vote.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy. You know, 2/3 of the weapons used and the bombs and the planes in Gaza is made by us, sent by us. We have a moral obligation. I don't care who you are, where you are, your tax dollars is used to support this horrific genocide being imposed on the Palestinian people. But he doesn't see it. For him, it's old-fashioned politics, and he's going to stick by Israel. You can support Israel without supporting the war. I don't think Biden sees that. Larry?
Yeah, I agree that the two different issues. You know, like the war is one thing, that the way that the war is being run, the way that indiscriminate disregard for human life, not so much human life as it is civilian human life, children, mothers, mm-hmm. elderly, being killed with no regard for the humanness of it, you know. So, So there's a lot of things that's being done by Israel right now that's just wrong. Period.
Estimate 32,000 people, mainly women and at least a third, maybe a third to a half, women and children.
Yeah, and the fact that these people are starving and that they're not allowing food to come in—that's another. That's even worse.
Yeah. You don't bomb hospitals.
No.
I don't care who's hiding there. Go in there with troops. You don't bomb it.
Yeah, you go in. Exactly.
You know.
That's what I'm, you know, like I've been saying, like, it's got to be precision. It's got to be surgical. You know, they try to make it a point. They're trying to make a point, and that point is being lost by the loss of all these lives. So, you know, they need to take, I mean, he needs to think. Well, it's too late for him to think now, but that's what he should have been doing before he made these moves.
The thing of if he would have
gone in there surgically and
Israel, you mean?
Israel. If Israel had gone in there surgically and went into these hospitals, went into these tunnels and went directly in. But I think they were thinking about the loss of their lives and not so much the loss of other people's lives, and that's the reason why they didn't do it surgically. Because they have all this power, they're not going to stop. They can't even possibly think that they can kill the idea by just bombing all these people. There's no way
they made enemies for the next 100 years.
Yeah, they created a bigger monster than what they had.
Plus, they changed public opinion about Israel.
Yeah,
I mean, they may be able to claim the genocide against them in the 1940s, the 1930s. But, you know, that's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is the genocide that they are committing against the Palestinians.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't say that 30,000 people were terrorists or belonged to Hamas. Hamas never had 30,000 troops.
Yeah.
You know, and there's women and children.
It's just horrible what's going on.
You know, I'm hoping that the president puts his foot down and tell Israel, no, we're not sending no more weapons. But I don't think that would stop Israel.
No, I think that they have the capacity of making the weapons themselves.
Well, no, they would have did that. They need the arms from outside. But it may take... If it's complete genocide to keep going on, it may take the effort of the Security Council, the United Nations, and sending troops in. That's a far-fetched idea to some people, but not so far-fetched to me.
I don't think that the United Nations have the balls to do something.
Well,
like
that's another issue.
Yeah, I don't think that they have the balls to do something like that.
I'm saying what it would take. To stop Israel.
Yeah.
They would have to go up against something stronger than Israel. Otherwise, they're going to continue to try to annihilate these people.
Yeah.
Well, Larry, man,
when you think about the United Nations in terms of global conflicts, they're not that powerful.
No, they're not powerful at all.
You know, and so...
That's because you got all these conflicting interests.
Yeah. That's true. That's the reason why it is. But if they were a powerful organization, and they stood between the Palestinians and the Israelis, that would be a workable solution.
Yeah,
that would be a workable solution.
Well, you know, the United Nations, at least the Security Council, you have to have everyone has to agree.
Yes, 100. It has to be unanimous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see where this goes, and we'll see if this changes between now and the election. But if not, man, as crazy as Donald Trump is, and he's a crazy, crazy fool, then nobody, I don't want to see him president of the dog catching club. He may end up getting the White House.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Because a lot of people are going to say, you know, I'm not going to vote for Biden. And it's not because it's the moral dilemma that he put folks in.
Yeah.
All right, man. We got to get to some jazz, Larry, man. We're going to sit here and we can discuss this all day long, man. Yeah. Folks, this is episode 158. And we're going to be playing Nat Adderley and Blue Mitchell, two old-time jazz cats, man. And we're going to start it off with Blue Mitchell. I mean, Nat Adderley. Nat Adderley is a trumpet player and the brother of Cannonball Adderley. And we're going to play a piece by him called Blues Walk. Actually, he plays two songs on this piece, Blues Walk and Walking. And it's a nice little lineup. You have Nat Adderley on trumpet, J.J. Johnson on trombone, Harold Land on tenor sax, Cedar Walton on piano, Richard Davis on bass, and Roy McCrood on drums. This was recorded in 1987, so, you know, this is when Nat Adderley was a little up there in age, but he still can blow. Here we go. Blues Walk and Then Walking. We'll be right back.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. And thank you, Clark. Thank you.
that was woo.
Yeah. That was really good, right?
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, man, I really enjoyed that. Yeah. That was Nat Adderley work song. Yeah. I kept playing it, man. I had it going and going and going. You know, they were doing their thing, man, you know. Nat Adderley, folks, man, trumpet player with his group, man, with J.J. Johnson, trombone, Harold Lyon on tenor sax, Cedar Wharton on piano, Richard Davis on bass, and Roy Crude on the drums. So we played actually three songs by Nat Adderley, Blues Walk, Walking, and then the work song. Pretty good, man. You like him?
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. I was always dug him.
Yeah.
Because he was like, you know, he's like, I don't know, older or younger brother of
Cannonball.
Yeah. And he's played on a number of albums. With
oh
Cannonball,
yeah, when they
play
together, they're smoking. Yeah. They just
yeah.
really
yeah,
had a different. Vibe going.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was it. That was a beautiful thing that was happening.
Well, folks. This episode, we're doing Nat Adderley and Blue Mitchell. Now, Blue Mitchell, man, what can I say about him, man? He put out a lot of albums and was a side man on numerous albums. Born in 1930 and passed in 79. You know, he worked a lot with jazz rhythms, but his music was blues, soul, rock, funk, all within a jazz context. He played with a lot of people, from Philly Joe Jones, Stanley Turrentine, Lou Donaldson, Jimmy Smith, and many, many more. He played sideman from 1952 to 1968. Blue Mitchell. Here's a piece by Blue Mitchell done in 1960. I Will Close My Eyes.
Thank you.
That's Blue Mitchell on a piece done in 1960, I'll Close My Eyes. With Blue Mitchell on trumpet, Wynton Kelly on piano. And Wynton Kelly been around a long time. Sam Jones on bass and Roy Brooks on the drums, man. A nice mellow bop piece. How'd you like that piece, Larry?
Yeah, it was nice bebop. It was really good. I like Blue Mitchell. I like the way he plays, man.
Yeah, that was 1960, folks. Wow. That was a while ago. You know, this cat recorded from 1952 all the way to 1978. He was making his albums, and he was playing on other folks' albums. And just to show you some of his wide range and versatility, here's Blue Mitchell in a piece called People in NASA. And this was done in 1968. And on piano, he has McCoy Tyner.
Thank you.
That was Blue Mitchell from the 1968 album Heads Up, and there was a piece called People in NASA, and that had McCoy Tyner on piano and also Pepper Adams on baritone sax. Nice piece, Larry. How'd you like that?
That was beautiful.
Caribbean
beat,
man.
Yeah, nice. Nice Caribbean beat. McCoy playing that piano the way he does. I love the way he plays piano. And the baritone sax is a unique instrument in jazz. Not many, we don't have many people that play baritone sax.
Yeah.
And the word that I messed up on earlier was, instead of unanimous, it's unanimity.
Wait, you're messing it up again?
Yeah, I know.
I think you should just leave it alone.
I will leave it alone.
There you go. Let's go back to Blue Mitchell. One more song by Blue Mitchell, folks. And this is called Blue Soul. And he gets a nice little lineup. Jimmy Heath, Curtis Fuller, Philly Joe Jones, and Wynton Kelly. And it's called Blue Soul. It's a short piece, man. So sit back and enjoy. Blue Mitchell. Thank you. That's Blue Mitchell on a piece called Blue Soul, with Blue Mitchell on trumpet, Jimmy Heath on the bass, Curtis Fuller on trombone, Philly Joe Jones on the drums, and Wynton Kelly on piano. Nice little piece, Larry.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah. I like the way they play that.
Yeah. So, folks, we played three songs by Nat Adderley and his group, and three songs by Blue Mitchell and his group. And we're going to play something different now. This is a young artist. I call him young because he's fairly new, born in 1978, but he's well-recognized, man. Robert Glasper, G-L-A-S-P-E-R. He's a piano player, record producer, songwriter, music arranger. His music expands many different categories, but it has a fundamental base in jazz, from rock to blues to hip-hop, all incorporated. He won 5 Grammy Awards and been nominated in 11 nominations across 8 different categories. Gives you a sense. And here he plays a pretty popular song called So Beautiful. Robert Glasper. I had to play him, put him in here for you. Enjoy.
Thank you. they feel about the way that they look, how men think about them, what they think men expect of them. I don't think that that truly matters at the end of the day, because the only thing that really matters is how you see yourself. How you see yourself. How you see yourself.
That's Robert Glasper with Georgia Smith on a vocal, Robert Glasper on piano. It's an interesting piece.
Yeah.
Because it has music, singing. The piece is called So Beautiful. Then it also has that verbal piece in there. Very interesting. He can play.
Yeah. I hear it. I'm trying to remember, like, that the feeling of the music. And it reminded me of somebody playing like that in the 70s, but I can't remember the group right now. It's like almost like a liquid flowing type of music. It just captures you.
Yeah. You know? He has a flow to his music, man, a gentle.
Gentle flow. Yeah. Like it's like not a rushing waterfall, yeah. But a almost like a brook coming down.
It was not dominating, but it was there.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. Her singing was unique, but it fit.
Oh, it definitely fit 100%.
Yeah.
That's the first time I've heard either one of the two of them.
Yeah. And the bass player was hanging in there, too.
Oh, yeah.
He kept that rhythm going.
Yeah.
Larry, man, it's that time, brother.
Oh, wow. Wow, how about that?
Yeah, you know. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed
this.
Before we close,
I wanted to give a shout out to my grandson, Jalen. Happy birthday, my boy.
That's Angela's, not Angela's.
Juanita's
son.
Yeah, he turned 19 today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, our next engineer in the family.
Good, fabulous.
And also, tomorrow is Victoria's birthday, and she's turning 13.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, 14. I better watch what I say.
Oh, yeah, man. You don't want to get those teen years mixed up, brother.
Yeah.
You're going to hear it.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely hear it.
Well, happy birthday to both.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me put that in there.
No, man. We got to get some young people in here on the show. Two old farts like us after a while gets a little stale. Anyway, folks, I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. You know, we played some artists that is not necessarily well-known, Nat Adderley and Blue Mitchell. But still, they made their mark in the jazz world. I really like to thank you for listening.
There I go.
And to the next time,
there
folks.
I go.
Peace and love.
Pretty baby, you are the soul who snaps my control. Such a funny thing, but every time you're near me, I never can behave. You give me a smile and then I'm wrapped up in your magic. There's music all around me. Crazy music, music that keeps calling me so very close to you, turns me your slave. Come and do with me any little thing you want to, anything baby, just let me get next to you. Am I insane or do I really see heaven in your eyes? bright as stars that shine up above you in the clear blue skies. How I worry about you, just can't live my life without you, baby, come here. Don't have no fear, oh, is there a wonder why I'm really feeling in the mood for love? So tell me why, stop to think about this weather, my dear. This little dream might fade away. There I go, talking out of my head again. Oh, baby, won't you come and put our two hearts together? That would make me strong and brave. Ooh, when we are one, I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid. If there's a cloud up above us, go on and let it rain. I'm sure our love together will endure a hurricane. Oh, my baby, won't you please let me love you and give me relief from this awful misery?
What is all this talk? All that loving me, my sweet, I am not afraid. Not anymore, not like before. Don't you understand me? Now, baby, please pull yourself together, do it soon. My soul's on fire. Come on and take me. I'll be what you make me, my darling, my dear.
Oh, baby, you make me feel so good. Let me take you by the hand. Come, let us visit out there in that new promised land. Maybe there we can find a good place to use a loving state of mind. I'm so tired of being without and never knowing what love's about. James Woody, you can come on in, man, and you can blow now if you want to. We're through.